Hi there, this is Book of Mormon Reader, and I am going to share with you my commentary on Moroni 10. There are several things in Moroni 10. Obviously, every word is precious in the scriptures, especially given the fact that these records were distilled and only we only have a tiny point, percentage of what we have. So I just want to focus on a couple of things, though, so I don't have to belabor the point, because honestly, every single verse we could talk about for days, hours, and still not come up with anything conclusive. But one thing that is a very famous scripture in Moroni 10, keeping in mind that this is the last chapter of the Book of Mormon, and there's some things that are significant about that, because Moroni was the son of Mormon who abridged most of the plates, and he thought that he was done carrying around these records, and the people, all of his people, were dead or running for their lives. It says, in fact, in Moroni 1 that he said, I didn't think basically that I would still be alive, but since I am, I want to write just a few more things. So one of the most important things in Moroni 10, which is one of, people think of Moroni 10, they only think of Moroni 10, 3 through 5. And in 3 through 5, there's an admonition there and an exhortation from Moroni. And think of this as somebody who thinks they're basically on their deathbed. So how important are those words when somebody's on their deathbed? They usually speak the truth. Last night I was watching an episode of 24, and Mason had been exposed to nuclear radiation, plutonium, and he called his son in there under duress and basically told his son that he loved him, etc., etc. And his son was kind of like, what's going on, Dad? What's wrong with you? Well, he was dying. When somebody's dying, they say things that that are deep within their hearts, that they want to make sure, as part of their leaving a legacy, that they do this. In fact, he says that, maybe some of these things will be of worth. They weren't of worth to his people. His people were dead. The whole Book of Mormon is written for our day. So I digress. It says here, when you read these things, remember how merciful the Lord has been to the children of men since the time of Adam. And so when you get it, receive it in your heart. When you receive these things, ask God in the name of Christ if they're true. Then if you really want to know, he will manifest the truth of it to you. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, you may know the truth of all things. This is profound in the fact that he's just saying, go directly to the source. Yes, you can listen to other people's opinions. Yes, you can read what they have to say, just as you're listening to my commentary. But the very best way that will get it seared into your heart is through the Holy Ghost. And how do you do that? You pray directly to the Father. This is key. And also, the other thing that's going on here in the world, which it's just making a huge, huge wave about the Book of Mormon, is the musical Book of Mormon. And in fact, when I was looking for some graphics to put as my graphics on podcast for inspiration, looking to see what they had, that's all that's coming up right now, is the stuff about the Book of Mormon musical. Well, they have a song in there that's very catchy called I Believe, and they're making fun that people say, just believe, pray, and you'll I don't have any proof or evidence or scientific DNA, but I believe. And they're ridiculing this form. That's what they're doing. That's their whole thing. Their irreverent dishonor of the Book of Mormon and how it's sweeping the world because of its message. Well, there's a reason why it does that, because just as sight, sound, taste, smell, touch, another one of our senses is spiritually discerned. And we cannot deny it. In fact, I think this is my personal, obviously this is all my personal, but I think when we're put here on earth in mortality and we have had something erased from us. They call it the veil of forgetfulness in the plan of salvation. And if you haven't heard what that is, I can do another thing exclusively on that. But I think for the purpose of us returning to our Heavenly Father, that we have within us like a homing device, and that when we hear things that are true or things that we've known before, it's not that they're new to us, but that they're familiar to us. And a little part of us is awakened. And so the very invitation to ask the Lord directly, if you're really pondering it in your heart, He won't withhold it from you. That's that whole picture of you knocking on the door. There's only a door handle on your side. There's not one on His. You have to open it up. So this is key. This is key about all things that are spiritually discerned, that you can and are entitled to receive personal revelation directly from your Heavenly Father through the Holy Ghost. That's the key about Moroni 10, 3 through 5. I always mark this whenever I give away a Book of Mormon myself, because yes, I'm saying I believe it's true, but this is saying you can know too. So that's the main thing about Moroni 10 through 5. And then a little bit down more, and I'm scrolling down from, I'm looking at it online as I'm making this commentary. the other part is gifts from God. And in Moroni 8, he's talking about many, many gifts of God. And then 9, 10, 11, 12, he actually expounds on what those gifts are and labels a few of them and says what these gifts are. Now, sometimes I think in today's world, we look at life through the lens of what we don't have instead of what we do have. And part of the reason why people are so negative and so without hope is because they forget to acknowledge the things that they do have, where in fact the things that they do have would far outweigh the things that they don't have. And I think this is a great reminder for Moroni to have us recognize what our gifts are. They don't all come in boxes with beautiful ribbons. Sometimes it's listening. Sometimes it's having a believing heart. I remember going on an appointment with some missionaries, and the investigator who was having a dialogue had never, ever heard of Jesus Christ. And my jaw just dropped, and I couldn't believe it. How many other people have never heard of Jesus Christ? For me, it's just been a part of my fiber since birth, I think. And I realized later when I had a lot of things come up on my YouTube channel and comments that people would make that, boy, some people have a sting for major skepticism, and they don't have the gift of a believing heart. Instead, they doubt. And maybe because if they did believe, they would be in a place of such vulnerability that they would have to surrender to a higher power. And that's a scary place to be. But I think that Moroni here, when he's talking about the gifts that we've been given, one is to teach the words of wisdom. One is that he can teach the word of knowledge by that same Spirit. And each time, notice he says it's, by that same Spirit. Some you can have working mighty miracles. And one you can prophesy. And another one you can behold angels. I remember in that movie, Field of Dreams, where the little girl was choking on a piece of hot dog and everybody could see it except for one person. And then finally, he saw it too. But it is a gift to see. It is a gift to believe. And he goes on to say what the different kinds of gifts are. And I think when we do think of things like that as gifts, then we think of our lives in a more abundant way, in a more positive way, in a more grateful way. And we come from a place of being filled that we have enough to share and then some. And I think with people like that, as in the parable of the talents, we get more. And when we receive, when we appreciate, we get more. When we don't appreciate, when we don't acknowledge, maybe some gifts are taken away from us. So those are some of my thoughts on Moroni 10. If you are not following with me along and it's later that we're doing this, I'm starting from the end and moving towards the front, like having dessert first. This is key to all that you have read up to this point, is that, boy, you've had a lot of things to consider. And the very end of it says, hey, include the Lord in your consideration. Ponder it in your hearts. And then, again, what a beautiful thing for Moroni to have taken the time to painstakingly write these things in his solitude just before he died. I'm so grateful he did. Yes, I have a believing heart, and I have felt the power of Moroni in just as I imagine what an incredible life he must have been living when he wrote this. And sometimes the context and state of mind that a person's in really affects how it is what they share. And I just am grateful for Moroni to think and ponder about people and take such a selfless view of his existence that perhaps, you know, these are the last words that we got out of him, that they, you know, they might be for the validity of his testimony. And he actually did see the plates. He actually did handle the things that we can take his testimony and really take to heart his promise, and that we can go in a place of vulnerability and trust and surrender and go directly to our Heavenly Father. And I know from my own personal experience, he will answer you. I've seen it in other people and I've seen it in myself. So I hope this has been helpful with my commentary on Moroni 10. This is Book of Mormon Reader. Thank you for listening.